Hi, this is Dave Kale. You know, most Christians are woefully misinformed when it comes to understanding the role of business and business people in the kingdom of God. They often have misconceptions about what is expected from a Christian in business, and as a result, they compartmentalize business from their Christianity, keep the two separate, and thereby they rob themselves and those around them of a more fulfilled life. So, in an effort to attack some of those misconceptions, here's three very common misconceptions held by Christian business people. Here's the first one. If I try to bring my Christianity to the marketplace, I'll be expected to preach to my customers, employees, and quote, wear my Christianity on my sleeve. Let me repeat that, because it's very common. If I try to bring my Christianity to the marketplace, I'll be expected to preach to my customers, employees, and wear my Christianity on my sleeve. Now, while every Christian is called to be able to articulate his faith, that does not mean you should be preaching to your customers and employees. Let me quote here, 1 Peter 3:15 says this, quote, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Notice the phrase, who asks you? Let me read that again. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you. So you should be modeling Christian virtues, peace and joy and hope and love, to such a degree that the folks around you, you know, your employees, your vendors, your customers, from time to time will inquire, you know, they'll ask you. But while that's true of Christian business people, it's true of everybody. It's not just a business person, it's true for every Christian. You just, as a business person, you just happen to be in a situation whereby you have more exposure and more influence than most. Your employees look up to you. Your customers and vendors are continually, you know, assessing you. So you have a responsibility to be, quote, ready to make a defense for the hope that is in you. But as a business and professional person, you've been put in a place to bring a little piece of God's kingdom to that place. And one of the ways in which you do that is being excellent at the work put in front of you. Colossians 4:23 commands it. I'm quoting now. Whatever you do, work at with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you'll receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Now, whatever you do means just that. The work that you do and the business that you lead or influence fit into that category. You are commanded to do your work and run your business as well as you can. You may want to read my post. I have a post on this. Should a Christian business be excellent? That's at davekale.com in the blog. So focus on doing your job with excellence, letting God's presence shine through you, and be ready to explain your faith when someone asks. That's the strategy, not preaching to your customers and your employees. I mean, that's not good business, and that's not how you run a business with excellence. So once again, the strategy is focus on doing your job and running your business with excellence and letting God's presence shine through you and be ready to explain your faith when someone asks. That's the strategy. So here, that's misconception number one. Here's misconception number two. If I mix my Christianity with my business, I'll need to hire only Christians. Well, you know, there certainly is no biblical command to do that. On the other hand, good business practices indicate that you should hire the people who are most qualified to do the job, are a good fit for your culture, and need or want the job as much as you want them. Their religious beliefs or their lack of them should not be a primary part of the hiring process. And be mindful of your responsibility to be salt and light to the world. One way you do that is by hiring non-Christians and letting them see the difference in your life and business practices. If you surround yourself only with other Christians, it's difficult to be a light to the dark world. Now, having said that, there is some anecdotal insight that indicates that a ratio of about 35% Christians in a workforce will support a culture of Christian love and concern for one another. There's also some conventional wisdom that your key executives should share your values, your vision, and belief state as systems. So, must you hire only Christians? Absolutely not. Here's number three. If I mix my Christianity with my business, I'll be pressured to give my profits to the church. Well, you may be pressured to give your profits away, but that likely happens regardless of the success of your business. Now, really listen to this. There is no scriptural precedent or command for a Christian to give a Christian business to give their profits away. Now, I've got a podcast on it, quote, should a Christian business give to the poor? Again, that's on my podcast station as well as in the blog. So despite the proclamations of the institutional church, there is no New Testament example of anyone giving to an institution. The institutional church, as we know it today, did not even exist until 300 years after Christ. Almost all of the giving in the New Testament is one person giving to another. And again, I've got a blog post that digs a little deeper in that. Am I required to give my tithe to the local church? Again, it's on the website in the blog. Now, that's not to ignore the biblical commands to give, but these are directed to individuals. Whether or not a business is expected to give of its profits above and beyond the individual's giving of the income they derive from that business, that is a matter of opinion. In the one passage which shed some light on it, the parable of the bags of gold, it would lead a thoughtful person to say, you are more blessed to increase the profits in the business than you are to give it away. But let's take a look at it. A great case can be made in this passage that it's more blessed to reinvest your profits in growing the business than to give it away. Here's the passage I'm going to read. It's kind of a long passage here. Matthew 25:19-27. Quote, after a long time, the master of these servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I've gained 5 more. And his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. And the man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I've gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. And his master replied, you wicked, lazy servant, so you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and I gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So the 2 servants who invested and grew the master's wealth were rewarded with greater responsibility and a closer relationship with the master. He didn't send him on a trip, to the Bahamas. He said, share your master's happiness. Didn't give him a bonus, said, I'm going to put you in charge of more things and come and share your master's happiness. That's a closer relationship. The decision to give of your corporate profits or your company's profits is entirely yours. Just understand, there's no scriptural command nor precedent to do so, and the clearest biblical teaching indicates that you should reinvest your profits to continually to grow the business. Unfortunately, These are just a few of the several misconceptions and wrong ideas about Christian business. A Christian business has the potential to become a powerful force in the kingdom. And to reach that potential, we need to remove some of the misconceptions that hinder it. Okay, that's it. Bye-bye. Hi, it's Dave again. Just want to take a second to really encourage you, if you haven't already, to pick up a copy of The Good Book on Business. The Good Book on Business. You can get it at thegoodbookonbusiness.com or Amazon, you know, or wherever books are sold. You can ask for The Good Book on Business. Why am I recommending it? Because there is a world of impact, impact for the kingdom that a Christian business is designed to have that most Christian business people never, ever come into contact with. And because they don't see what it is that God would like for their businesses, they don't pursue the Christian ministry section or part of their business. So this whole world of impact and opportunity for a Christian business never gets realized because people don't understand the power, the potential power of their business. Man, go get this book. You know, it's $13 or $14, less than lunch. Go get the book and expose yourself to it, okay? All right, bye-bye.